Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about initial proposals or ideas for the RSL Glenbrook sub-branch. So I'm going to explain a few things. One is this is a podcast I'm doing during a cardiac rehab walk, and so there's several levels of rehab that I have to do after an operation. This is fitness, but also cognitive, being able to, the way that your mind goes together. So that's what's happening at this time. And part of that is that I have some combination of time available and a directive to get involved in social situations to help in that area of cognitive thought. So that's where it's coming from. So I've established this ability to podcast while I'm walking at night, slowly improving. Now, that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is, what's the RSL, and what's the Glenbrook sub-branch, and what are the proposals going forward, and I suppose the specifics, and then a reflection on proposals in general, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty. So the RSL is the Return Servicemen's League. So you can join it if you want to. If you've served in the military in some sort of capacity at some time in the past. And so having done so, you've got a slightly different, less, I suppose, cynical or idealistic view of it. So that's the case for me. I've decided I'd joined up. I've joined up a few years ago, just as a silent, quiet member to see if I can offer any help, not to take any charge, any limelight, just to listen and support. And I suppose the attraction of it is that it's just it's not trying to be too loud, try to do too much. It's not in your face. It's just about supporting each other and coming to terms with things. It's concept of it is an empathy-based organization or grouping. I'll get into that a bit more as I think about it. So this is empathy to remember things in the past, but also think about other people. And so it's a little of a strange, and so it's, I suppose, remembrance, but also just a club, so to speak. And in essence, it's not necessarily like a bushwalking club, or it hasn't got a name to advance and educate kids for some reason, or to make a profit, or to establish things. It's not necessarily an interest group. It's really an empathy group. So that's the attraction of it. And so it began fairly quickly after World War One with the return soldiers, and they were trying to make their way in a complex world. And I suppose this is another thing. So there was a fair swag of the Australian population, able-bodied people, like almost everyone in World War One was out in Europe and in Gallipoli and places like that. It was a very tough and formative area, and the people came back, and you've got these basically a processing system where people of these complex backgrounds, or complex and simplest backgrounds, go into a complex but simple organization. It's hard to say. Like, the war is exceptionally complicated, but their interaction is simple, and they come back and integrate with society, and that's complex, yet they themselves are perhaps a little simple people. So it sort of creates, I've sort of got this idea of complexity, where you can't actually see what happens or understand why things happen. So it's a fairly complex thing to interact with and understand, and this provides a comparatively simple dimension to your existence. This is the RSL. This is just my interpretation of it. And so Glenbrook's a slippy sort of little village up in the Blue Mountains, and the sub-branch is full of possibly 40, at a pinch there's about a bit over a dozen sort of active members who turn up every for all the meetings, and then it swells up to about 50 if you had to really poke a stick at all, everyone involved. And so it's a low-key, fairly nice, gentle, friendly thing. And I've been to one or two meetings, or two meetings in actual fact. So you go to the meeting. I think I've actually only been to one proper meeting. And you go up. Afterwards, you hear a bit of jingle-jangle about big political smoke which is happening, and constitutional issues and stuff like that, and then some core issues that they're interested in of sustainment and direction and stuff like that. Go up, there's a free beer with it, and put in a bit of money, get some chips and a cup of coffee at the end, and you chat with a few people, and I don't mind doing that, because there's always a surprisingly gentle aspect to listening to people, in terms of you hear the story and underneath it there's a caring environment or a caring person. Well, that's what I pick up, at least. And so that's the general benefit that I pick up. And so coming into this, you see a group and you see yourself and you see, oh well, we could do these various options. I'll go through some of the options which have just occurred to me, or just a thought. And so let's just review at this point. There's myself with some time, some rehabilitation thing to go across, and you've got this little organization, and you've got activities which are happening. So there's general activities, structures, things that I'm doing anyway associated with it, supply to it. And there's things that we could look at. And it's not such a table-thumping thing. It must be done. It's more in the majesty of just chewing over. Maybe a good idea, maybe not for us. Maybe another group will do it. But one of the things that struck me is a thing that you could do. And this is just sort of an off-the-shelf, almost knee-jerk reaction. And it sort of comes from the school environment. So I'll say what the thought is, and that's a jersey or jacket which says, very subtly, RSL Glenbrook sub-branch. And the a sort of nickname or branch name that you go by. It's sort of in there in some sort of jacket that you buy, and that will cost so much and take so much to develop, and people will like it or not like it. But I'd say where my experience of this basic branding of the person and branding of your members so that your organisation goes up. So very early on, in my, I suppose, laser physics, quantum physics career, I was involved in building optical fibre. I'm breathing as I'm going up this hill. Optical fibre components for industry, and I'd sort of cracked and developed a process of just churning out these devices, which I was churning out for academics, and I was actually providing a service where the academic could come in, actually learn how to build their own device, operate the equipment, and very quickly, someone had a business acumen, said, I want to do this, and I said to them, look, I'm not of your cloth, I won't go with you, but I'll help you, and came into the lab, and one day I was told to be out of the lab, and people came in and rebadged my programs with their company logo, which is good, or not good. Then they show people my work with the company logo. This is what happens to business, but more importantly, as they began to hire people, they gave them a shirt they wore. And this was a big shock for us. I think this happened in the mid-90s. And there was all these ideas that were coming through, which I, at that stage I hadn't done an MBA. I was still idealistic research scientist. I still am. But I saw the idea of, that means that people looking around can say instantly, oh, that's from that organization, or that's happening here. And it creates a space. Now, the extent of it was a full-on experiment of creating start-up companies and a corporate presence. And so much so, I saw one person who had their car, they had number plates. You'd have your own car, but they would pay for a number plate, so it would give the impression it's much bigger than not. And, you know, there's all this, I don't know, but I call it the word BAMP. I don't know why I call it BAMP. This is, when you're sending out your first invoices, you send the invoice number, so it's, you're not, customer's not told it's invoice number one, it's invoice 331. Yeah, so they're like, oh, doing a few, not too many, but it is a startup. We're not the first person. So it's all this psychological gaming. So that's one aspect of it. And then I've seen it happen again in when they're building team spirit for final year HSC. Each year, people get their jacket, and the jacket has the school logo, the year, and their personal identity. And so the people wear that jacket, and they like wearing it. So that's the general concept behind it. And the idea here is that you'd have people, if they wanted to, would wear this, and people could ask questions about it, or note it, or start up a conversation, whereas compared to not having it, people are probably less likely to do it. And then when a meeting comes, you can see a group of people coming together, and then in social, if you expand it further, that you may have, say, a social walk, something's okay, or a talk, something, a talk in the park, or a talk at a war memorial, or a war site. So we've got a few war sites up here, amazingly, in Glenbrook. A plane's crashed, and we had a chemical warfare unit up here. A few interests going on, and then there's potential interest with the press organising this. And if you can actually think of the actual activity and what you can do on it, the design, any aspect of it, you can expand a bit more. You can say, for a design, get contributions for the design ideas from a local school. Local schools want to do this, but we've got no idea of fashion sense. Can we get into it? So there's a bit of community ownership of it. Even in the small project before any money is spent, and you get a jacket at the end of it. So they're all the intentions of it, and this is like a base idea first off. And so this is one of the things is that I suppose a lot of people have, speaking to them, have had extended military careers. I had more sort of a light end military career. I'm still active, and seeing the general gist of what can be done in a realistic time frame and in such a way which is completely inclusive and produces maximum benefit by the time you get there. So rather than speculating the price is very high, speculate how, what the price will be and who you can negotiate to get it done. So there's a lot of benefit going forward, and if it doesn't work, there's just a few. We won't do that one again. That's a stupid idea. And then, if it does work, we can write it up. If it doesn't work, we can also write it up as a benefit. Benefit as something we experimented to go forward. Because what's happening, my overall view, is that there are these really high value, highly defined, high profile things like Anzac Day and Remembrance Day, and very focused things which are clearly associated and allowed. And if we want to actually expand or work out, expand beyond the boundaries, and this is not stupid expansion. There are things which are happening anyway, organically within the community. Like, if I can just say one thing, so observing laying of wreaths, which is important. People lay wreaths of school, with school books to donate to the local schools with it. So this idea that there's innovation going on the whole time in the community. And this is sort of creating, I suppose, breaking the barrier so much that allows the innovation to step outside the actual day to allow community involvement before in a complex way. So that's the just to summarise where it was. What I'm doing is this. Doing a podcast. Now the podcast will go out to the world in general. There'll be about, oh, I don't know, around 100 confused yanks and krauts, mainly a few from other countries, Ukraine. Say hello to a few people in Russia. We'll listen to this and wonder what the heck is going on. So this is why I'm explaining what I'm doing, and this gentle, or ex-soldiers organization, but it is in no way, triumphant, aggressive, militaristic, silly. It's just really down to earth, supporting, and in a subtle way, and that's sort of providing a broader sweep of support when people go from military to non-military life. It provides a haven of simplicity where whatever your problems are, listen to, not judged, except that you get sort of like a home base. That's the best way I can describe it. So it's, I don't think there's some political views. I'm sure there is there, but no one holds them too strongly, or you can say, oh, no, I'm the opposite, and there's sort of no view. So, just for instance, last time this man said, oh, moved into a smaller house, there's trees over, I'm cutting five of these 14 trees at the back of my property, I'm just cutting them. And I said, oh, I'm different, I love trees, I just have got all these trees around my house, it's a huge fire hazard. And there's a little like, oh yeah, there's no sort of, you know, conflict or collapse, because it's just not that sort of thing. So that gives you that general idea. So this is the thing, this is very gentle organization, which is sort of existing, and thinking forward exactly what it is, and the proposal that we could have at the very short a jacket, we'll look at the jacket, look at the costs, look at the benefits, just chew it through and consider it. And this is just this new person on board. I have different views. Before I move on, obviously I've technology and strategy analysis, MBA and that type of stuff, and you have to be very cautious when you actually grab some ideas, some strategies, and apply it to an organization. So these are corporate strategies where there's corporate responsibilities, and there is that within the RSL, but there are other aspects to it. So say a corporate organization would be like the little service station up here in the corner. It's part of a big conglomerate. It still has to turn a buck, has to do things, serve customers. It's got to have a form, people got to know what it is, and all that type of stuff. And that is true for the RSL. People have to know the RSL, will have an opinion about war memorials, returned soldiers. That's a bit. But because of that, it doesn't mean that your thinking has to be restricted to the corporate framework. And there are these things. So, what can I say? Majority of people just go in, do MBA very quickly, move out, apply it, and say, hey, I've got an MBA, pay me more money. But there's something a bit more. Sometimes when you do this type of training, you slowly integrate it, for me, with the science and research, and pull back and say, well, what can I apply? You read various things, and there's, to be sure, a lot of things that you read, and having had military training, you add the two together and you say, oh, I can now, when I read Japanese management styles, I can actually see how that links in with military training. You know, a group of people, Omai, the Mai, oh, I've forgotten his first name, Mind of the Strategist, very influential book for me. And this is having a strategic scenario, and then that links over to the Australian Army PAM, which says, well, on the first page or two, a bit of palaver about, you know, various battles Australians have been involved in, and the lesson we've learnt about it is that the actual people involved know the mind of the commander, and therefore can adapt and change in the front. So there's this sort of generalized theme going forward that, yep, or perhaps we can actually innovate. As long as we're telling people what we're doing, it's okay. And surely this jacket idea is a very close point. But one of the points I want to make is that as what it is. There's this concept that I have pulled out by sort of mapping where things are of a poly, what I call a polymorphic organization. That for one group of people, it can be for press, it can be this, for the public, it can be that, for the people inside, it can be something else. It can actually morph and relax and get things done in a very advanced modern way. And in a certain sense, your modern graduate can have many different degree jobs and in many different organizations. They're polymorphic themselves, but as for an organization which is polymorphic, so different groups doing different things with some core ideas of empathy. And I think another sort of core idea is that if someone is standing between, you know, if a public person is standing between themselves and a war memorial or something like that, it's not just an interesting piece of art. Something, it is something that we can, as a community, join together as an interface. So that interface with the experience, and a interface as necessary for people who are entering complex things in their lives. So what in general happens is there's this sort of crazy selfishness, I think, that people encounter outside in post-military life. And of course there's the struggles, as anyone gets older, of losing loved ones. You know, various people that you know pop off as you get older. There's these transitions, there's personal diseases. As you get old, you start to fall apart, and that sort of rollercoaster ride from simplicity for a complex situation goes to just overall complexity. All this complication means that you have these experiences which people discard really quickly. This is one of the things I've noted in the scramble for dominance, or to dominate people or dominate situations. They will say, oh, well, we're not going to discuss that. We'll put that aside. That experience is not relevant here. And they can win the day. Oh, I don't know how to explain this properly, but the experience still resides within people. So let's bring it forward. So that's that first thing, that context there. The second thing is something that I'm doing quite normally, and that is getting a military text of interest and podcasting it, yo to woe, as a resource for people to perhaps listen, for me to analyse, to get involved with it. So to add a sort of second life to it. So one of the things I did do is read through Japan's greatest victory by this Japanese commander who taught the Aussies a real lesson at the start of World War II. It's very important, and too important to move beyond this, no one knows nothing. This time it's like, oh, shut up. You don't, oh, I have to say, you're wrong. But when you actually read the actual Japanese commander, and he said, we advance, purchase Thai uniform troops, and we landed, started our invasion in Thailand, dressed as Thai troops with the white flag up to get a foothold in the place. Is it true? Well, it is true that the Japanese commander writing the history of the place, that's what he said. Now, it's one of those complicated things that interpretive history, there's these things which come through interpretive history that just by reading Japanese commanders' notes on it or recollections or the history, that just definitely says something. Sort of like a witness, which is partly what the RSL does. It sort of witnesses the thing for all that people, all the sway of political thing, true of wars become popular and popular, it's judged and all for that. It's just that quiet. That's what happens. That's that witness aspect of it. And then, obviously, putting it into the podcast engines, putting it out, putting it into the app engine such that it forms a list of little apps which you can type through each press on each chapter and listen. And things develop as you go out and do these things. And I think it's about halfway through Japan's greatest victory that I got that up and going. So you can hear it from 16 to 30 through this app, or if you really want to, you can dig a bit further back. And in order to get there, so this is me anyway, and then I get, having paid my $30 a year, I get my little magazine, Reveal, Revelé, and this is the, to be honest, I can't remember. Revelé is a little trumpet call at the end of the day, I think so, or this is the first morning one. I can't tell you what, there is nothing like a bugle call in an army base. I can't say, there's just something, like you hear it, and it's like, but at Pukapunda where there's dust and, you know, things are out, and you hear it at the end of the day, it's just an incredible silence and quiet, and this, I should go off to the side, so this magazine comes along, and indeed, some articles, or in fact every article, is incredibly balanced, incredibly well researched, and less jingoistic than the stuff that you see in some of the newspapers, more balanced to it, and gets into some real deep issues. So again, podcast that, and there I go, as I do, unless the person's dead and it's out of copyright, I contact the person and say, look, mate, and they say, yep, you can do it, and so they said, RSL said, yes, you can do it. And so this is one of the, so your first issue is, for me, a simple thing, let's look at the jacket. The second one is podcasting. I'm going to be doing that anyway, and what's happened now is that I've got sufficiently projects to keep me going quite well, and I've got to move and force it. I'm going through the World Atlas of Cheese. Now, this has nothing to do with the military stuff. This just happens to be a brilliant book of understanding the world through cheese, all the intricate knowledge, all the cross links, the style of presentation, the structure. It's all very interesting as you go through it. This is this book. And so I'll work through that book. There's probably a few days of heavy reading to get through that one. But that being said, getting back there, the next book up is Repower, a very good book by a historian. And this sort of tells you the story that of the entire thing of doing, going out and doing things. You tend to get this sort of random inertia of positivism, and then that's a bit complex and it's negative, and you tend to wind up not doing anything. And so one of the things is that I've come up with these suite of ideas, fairly sweet, just talked about them, and want an incubation space. Yeah, I've got the permission from the author, and then tell us your research interests. And I said, oh, well, I happen to be also interested in this, your topic area of the Cornish influence, because the influence of Cornish artists in the construction of the Australian movement is a very interesting aspect, it's a very detailed thing, but no response from them. And you sort of get used to that as a researcher, but you don't necessarily get used for it as a someone first into to doing new projects, where you get a little sort of rump of interest and you don't pay much attention to it, because what follows is this enormous deadness of interest, and projects really have to go for a long while before they strike. And I have lots of graphs of this. This is where I have a metric of interest. I'll be working on it for generally 2-3 months, many years in actual fact, before suddenly there is a little uptick. But then there can be other instances which kill that. And in general, the Australian environment is not a strong environment for any type of innovation. So it's going to be really tough for us to even pick up the jacket stuff, you know, whether we want to look at it. Because this is a nice and concrete aspect of it. The next one is this podcasting. I sort of know about it, so I'll go ahead and do it myself. But it means that podcasting, I can use this as a vehicle. I'll put out a complex set of ideas, whereas if I present board papers, that's just, it's too rough, it's too too in your face. It, I don't know, it's, I don't know, you can write a quick succinct board paper which makes promises and researches, and it's just the wrong thing, simply because it's a polymorphic organisation and not a corporate one. There's not a board that you're answering to, it's just a group of people looking at the idea. Now we come up, so that's two things. One is the jacket, as you say, suck it and see it, or milk it, you know, run up the flagpole and see who salutes, so to speak. Now, then there's podcasting, sit back, under control, I'm doing it anyway, you know, it may be good, may not be, but it's part of the advanced digital interface should bring. Now, that being said, we have Remembrance Day, and the next day, so it's the 11th of November, and there is an issue in New South Wales of not selling poppies, not raising money, and how that goes ahead. So there's that general issue, but then there's the concept of, there's the poppy, you could have my sub-concept of it, just floats into my head. So there's, I've got no agenda, I've just got a series of experiences as far as something walks across, sort of like, dare I say it for military terms, a target being picked out of the camouflage. So it's, these things are camouflage and I've got experience to pick it out. And this is the idea of a digital poppy, that is a app poppy, which lasts for the day. And the initial thing is to get it out there as a free thing that can be shared, and as a, not as a Trojan horse, but as the first step in a much bigger strategy. So, now unfortunately, well, or fortunately, or unfortunately, there's this sort of playbook of digital marketing and working out what you can do to you can research modern social media, and essentially what you want to do is to have the ability to friend a deceased soldier. I mean, this sounds stupid, but having the option to do it, and of course this is an incredibly complex process. You want to have someone to, this friendship not to be just an idle thing, this is a genuine thing, and you want it to have a social presence. And this is really something that the RSL can do. This is the interface between the public and the future. That is, we are history. We are not in the history books. We are the history, and we're going to help bring it along. So, digital poppy, yep. The next aspect is with that poppy, linking it to a soldier. So we've got the information resource already of the Australian War Memorial, a beautiful digitized, sophisticated operation. I'd probably say the envy of the world. There's probably nothing, I would say, which was closely, even gets close to the academic structure, which isn't there. And there's a lot of academic structure. There's the Australian Army Journal to read through. There's a lot of really interesting stuff to read, and also the resource and support from the War Memorial. So you've got this very general idea of a poppy, an interface with a person, and one of the things in social media, you want to leave a comment or a post or something like that, and the ability for your post to be read by everybody else when they also interact with this particular digger or something like that. And so you may say, reading this, I felt this, I thought that, and if it's genuine and it's okay, can we leave it with that person? So when you look at, when someone else comes along, they say, well, 5 years ago someone else did it. They don't want to be contacted. They can be contacted, something like that. And they said this. Now, there is this phenomena of treating. I know this from technology, teaching with technology. This is where you try and experiment with it and bring up silliness. So, even in Google knows to do this. If you type in barrel roll into a Google search engine, the actual page does a barrel roll. Or if you type in Chuck Norris will find you. They've got these different tricks for the trade to interface intelligently with it. So there's got to be this filter system in where you can build your relationships with people. Now, that's in information space. In real space, you eventually want to have something, a geocaching app, that when you bring and you go to the bloody effort of going down to a war memorial, it reads GPS coordinates and then says, okay, we're now going to tell you, not when you can't find in the comfort of your home, you have actually bloody well go out to hear and read. And for each digger's name, you can then click on the digger's name that's in the war memorial. So we've got these little epitaph, you know, these little things all over the place. Or, I think, there was a huge, I mean, it's sort of crazy to think of it. Every Aussie town or park had a little piece of German warfare equipment. You were given so much German, I don't know what the heck they were thinking. So you've got these things of geocaching, and also the social media aspect of it to bring forward as a activity. And this is something
that is really a discussion paper that we could have as a general discussion point. So it's not necessarily absolutely essential that we do it, but it's the discussion working forward, and I think it can come forward. So this is, there is social media, there's Facebook, or it's sort of like a not open Facebook page of each of the soldiers, where the concept of respect thrown across. So it's actually a pretty strict offence for someone to desecrate. I mean, this is something you just get no sympathy if you desecrate a war memorial, or you shout and act like a wanker in one of the war memorials. So just people just got no tolerance for it. Thank goodness. And really, moving into the digital social space, present it. So you can have people are free to put a social group around it. But in that final layer between our present and the past, the RSL and War Memorial can step in and actually do it. So, so-and-so on such a cemetery, point to if you go to a place, school hall, little town halls everywhere. There's these the honour rolls, and you can see, large quantities of people just by the bucket loads. I don't know. I think we lost 100,000 in World War I, which is for a population. I think it's far more than that. That's the general idea, and looking at it, going through it at two different levels. This is the graded ideas that graded ideas of just the jacket, then the podcast, they're coming along anyway, don't worry about it. And then this large idea, which goes forward into the digital social media stage to engage in a particular way that hasn't been thought of before and has potential for technology, and we don't necessarily want, we definitely don't want any commercial short things polluting it, although I'm sure people can think of it. So that's that last one is a particular I suppose element that could be discussed and thrown up and put in a paper as sort of an idea. Let's have a look at it. Let's have a go of it. There's that, and there's the understanding that I'm going to progress anyway. So I'm not offended if the group says too hard, anything is too hard, because I'll be there, just pushing up the next thing, because it sort of really encapsulates where everyone is at, because they've reached their life, and a lot of people have said too hard, they've sort of hemmed them down into this sort of area, and this is what everyone has to do anyway, is to work out what they can do productively in a quiet way, knowing that they don't have all the cards laid out on the table for them. So that's my brief. There's a lot to take in. One is the fact that if you're hearing this in a podcast, it's very hard to put in. I don't know whether people are used to that type of stuff, that the podcast is in a frame of rehabilitation and expansion. So I'm in a mode of rehabilitating, trying to get little bits and pieces sticking back together and see what can go. And every time the block tower gets knocked down, and every day I have to start, just start again. There's that, for people listening outside, the idea of a non-aggressive, low profile, practical, you wouldn't know it's their organization, which has to deal with the fact that it is here, process going forward. And indeed, there's that, those big levels, and there's a practical level of a bunch of 14 or so active people thinking what can be done. You know, it's real open slather, not open slather, but, you know, someone else can come up with an idea, be equally treated. So look, thanks for listening to this podcast as I go about my way and head off home.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.